Hello, and welcome to our webinar, GPL Version 3, How Will It Impact Enterprise Organizations? I'm Linda Nicholson, OpenLogic's Director of Marketing. OpenLogic is a leading provider of open source solutions that enable enterprises to safely acquire, support, and control open source software. OpenLogic provides enterprises with a certified library of open source software that encompasses hundreds of the most popular open source packages. We provide indemnification on each of these packages, and our solution helps you enforce open source policies, thereby reducing the risk and maximizing the cost savings associated with using open source software. OpenLogic also provides enterprise-grade technical support backed by the OpenLogic expert community. We recently polled our expert community, and 70% of them told us they plan to move their projects to GPL V3 when it comes out. So we wanted to provide you with more information about the third revision to the GPL license. We have muted the lines for everyone except our moderators in order to eliminate any potential background noises that might interfere with the event. But at any time during the presentation, please click the question and answer icon on the left menu bar to ask a question. Questions of interest to the audience will be read aloud and answered by our speakers during the last 10 to 15 minutes of the presentation. And now I would like to introduce today's guest speaker, Evan Moglen, Chief Legal Counsel to the drafting of GPL Version 3, is a professor of law and legal history at Columbia University and is the founder, director, counsel, and chairman of Software Freedom Law Center, whose client list includes numerous pro bono clients, such as the Free Software Foundation. Professor Moglen has represented many of the world's leading free software developers. He has also held visiting appointments at Harvard University, Tel Aviv University, and the University of Virginia. In 2003, he was given the Electronic Frontier Foundation's Pioneer Award for efforts on behalf of freedom in the electronic society. And now, Evan Moglen.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate this opportunity to speak to you about GPL3. We're going to begin this session with a short poll of the audience to understand people's degree of involvement with GPL3 and its process, after which I'll return you to provide some overview of the GPL process and discuss the substance of the license. Thank you. That's a helpful summary of the situation. I'm interested that even as many as 2% of this group have submitted comments in the GPL3 process. That's useful to know, but as I expected, we are basically beginning from scratch, and what I would propose to do then is to start by talking a little bit about this GPL. If I might have, please, the first of our slides for this presentation. Yes, thank you, and the next. So, the GPL, the GNU General Public License, was born of an idea in the mind of a single individual, Richard Stallman, the founder of the Free Software Foundation. In the early 1980s, Mr. Stallman was working at the MIT Artificial Intelligence Laboratory and was in daily contact with AT&T's Unix operating system, which was widely available to research institutions and universities around the world on terms which permitted those licensees access to source code. But AT&T's licensing provisions for that source code prohibited people from making modifications and sharing those modifications of Unix with others. Mr. Stallman realized that from his point of view, this was an ethical problem, a problem that challenged the conception of freedom as he understood it, in a world where human beings want to share general useful technical information about computers. And he conceived the idea of a general purpose operating system like Unix, compatible with Unix, but independently re-implemented from scratch and made available to everybody on terms that permitted everybody to copy, modify, and to share. An immensely talented technical architect and designer, Mr. Stallman conceived not only the whole of the GNU system, GNU stood for GNU's Not Unix, a programmer joke, a recursive acronym. He not only conceived of the technical content of GNU, but he also conceived of the social and licensing context in which such a project could be made to work. That required, from his point of view, copyright licensing arrangements which would protect indefinitely, perpetually, in the hands of all users, the right to copy, modify, and share. The first version of the GNU General Public License, which implemented this licensing strategy, was published in 1985. And the second version of the license, which is the current version, used all over the world, was published in 1991. The GNU GPL, or GPL as it is known pretty much everywhere on Earth, the GPL is the world's leading example of a copyleft programming license, a license which reverses the flow of rights under copyright so as to give all users the rights to copy, to modify, and to share, which under copyright statutes are exclusively vested in the original authors of created works. The GPL is currently used as a license on more than 75,000 programming projects around the world, many of them, like the Linux operating system kernel, the MySQL database engine, the GCCC compiler, products of enormous commercial value in use in almost every technically sophisticated enterprise in the world. Those projects under GPL reach from single programmer projects being worked on by garage inventors to projects like GCC and the Linux kernel, which are de facto industrial consortia activities for which many of the programmers are paid to work full time, and which are themselves the cooperative output of a large number of vendors, users, research institutions, all sharing all the code. Version 2 of the GPL, which has subsidized and organized all of this activity, having been unrevised since 1991, is a license which has enabled growth in the use of the software it covers by almost 9 orders of magnitude in 15 years. We've gone from a world in which a few dozen people developed code under GPL to a world in which more than 1 million people have at one time or another worked, as best we can tell, on GPL licensed projects, and in which enormous numbers of users do enormous amounts of business using the software every single day. May I have the next slide, please? The process of renewing the license, of changing its content, updating it to current circumstances, is a process which has been more or less continuously underway since I began working with Mr. Stallman in late 1993. Over the course of the last 13 years, I think there has not been a single month in which we have not exchanged ideas or design considerations for the revision of the license. But even by the mid-1990s, at a time when commercial uptake was still substantially smaller than the business intelligence and surveillance of Microsoft could detect, even by the mid-1990s, it was clear to us that the process of revising to GPL3 was going to be a long and complicated process, which had to be carefully studied and pursued with great prudence. The amount of received expectations, impacted investments, business models built on GPL has grown explosively over the last 10 years. And when we began the process of public revision in January of 2006, We did so on the basis of years of pre-planning, both as to process and as to substance. There were three revision goals that were key to our understanding of what we were going to have to accomplish in moving GPL from version 2 to version 3. Those goals arose out of the changing circumstances in which GPL software was used around the world from the position in 1991. The first revision goal was to achieve globalization of the license. GPL version 2 was written by Mr. Stallman and U.S. Copyright Council. I had no role in the preparation of GPL version 2, but having worked with it intimately for years, I, like anyone lawyer who has touched it, was aware of the limitations that its uniquely U.S.-centric legal vocabulary imposed in working with lawyers and users outside the United States and outside the Anglo-American copyright system. So our first architectural goal in making GPL 3 was to render the license not merely comprehensible to, but usable by, lawyers and courts throughout the world. This is an unusual architectural concern. Most parties who license copyrighted works in the international context do so by creating one license per country, and they emit their works combined with the local license through a local distribution network. Therefore, each license under which their work is available is tailored to the local legal system where the work is published. But this is not a feasible approach for free software licensing. Our code follows arbitrary trajectories worked on by a programmer in Iceland, simultaneously with a programmer in New Zealand, alongside or in parallel to the work of a team in China or Kazakhstan or Germany or California. Our code moves among parties who use it across arbitrary trajectories. A tarball may be emailed from or FTP from hand to hand across any arbitrary set of borders before it reaches the hand of any particular user. So in order to globalize the license, particular new drafting structures were needed, and we came to that process through a long and complex study of how to internationalize copyright licensing in a way that few licensors ever undertake. A second fundamental revision goal when working with the GPL was to take account of the explosive and, from my client's point of view, very destructive move towards the large-scale patenting of software in the United States, the UK, and to a lesser extent elsewhere in the world